Haiti condemns UN approval of American invasion plans. U.S. troops activate airport at Kigali, Rwanda. Trade wars loom with Japan and Canada. Good Monday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. After the UN Security Council gave President Clinton a virtual blank check to invade Haiti, White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta on CNN's Late Edition talked tough.
The message is very clear as a result of this resolution, and it's very similar to the message that was sent in the Persian Gulf. The military dictatorship is going to end.
Reaction in Haiti was swift, as Terry Phillips reports.
At 2 o'clock this morning, the head of Haitian National Television announced a presidential decree introducing a state of siege. Military-backed leader Emile Jonassin declared his country to be in imminent danger of military invasion and occupation. Jonassin acknowledged Haiti's inability to stop an international attack, but promised he would defend the country with all his powers. This statement was in reaction to yesterday's UN Security Council vote authorizing member states to expel the Haitian junta using all necessary means. Those are the same words which preceded the multinational strike against Iraq in 1991. So far, public reaction to the UN vote has been practically non-existent. That's typical here in what has become the Western Hemisphere's most destitute and fear-struck country. Terry Phillips for CBS News, Port-au-Prince.
85 U.S. soldiers have quickly gotten the airport in the Rwandan capital of Kigali ready for round-the-clock operations. Newsman John Holland in Kigali reports those with money can still eat well.
If anyone thought there was little food here in Kigali, then they haven't visited the central market. Local farmers unload the carcasses of water buffaloes, carving them up and selling them to market butchers inside. The counter was crowded, but there were few buyers. Why? Little money. One 15-year-old boy named Tashir had hiked 5 miles from his home looking for money to buy food. He says he's made the trip every day since his father was murdered a month ago by Hutu militiamen. Now he stands at the edge of this bustling market, some of it filled with recently arrived aid packages, not supposed to be resold, but distributed free. Tashir says he hopes the aid begins reaching the countryside soon. Rural people need the aid badly, he says, but they can't afford it, no matter how far they walk. John Holland for CBS News. Kigali, Rwanda.
Across the border in Zaire, where an estimated 50,000 refugees have now died, the UN's Ray Wilkinson says there's a new health threat, dysentery.
That is expected to reach epidemic proportions in the next couple of weeks. And we do expect the number to be more from dysentery than from cholera.
Rwanda's new prime minister is calling on the international community to persuade refugees to come home, saying you cannot rule a country without a population. As newswoman Elaine Cobb reports from Zoma, relatively few Rwandans are headed home.
The number of refugees going home is dropping slightly as conditions improve in the camps. That won't please the aid agencies, who believe they should go back, nor the new Rwandan government left with an empty country to rule. But the border guards are still on 24-hour duty, checking people through. All around the immigration buildings at Goma are piles of grenades, bullets, and rockets confiscated from soldiers of the old Hutu regime. Running around amid them, a tiny toddler, nicknamed Jaguar by the soldiers. He lost his parents in the exodus and has been temporarily adopted by the border guards until they can find him a new home. Elaine Cobb for CBS News, Goma, Zaire.
PLO Chief Yasser Arafat today demanded that Israel immediately enter talks on Jerusalem's future now that it has reaffirmed Jordan's control of Muslim shrines. Israel refused.
You've heard a lot of different opinions about health reform and the best way to cover Americans who don't have health insurance. Since this decision will affect every one of us, you should know the facts. Who are the uninsured in America?
Despite what many people think, they're mostly working people. 8 out of 10 Americans who don't have health insurance are full or part-time workers and their families.
Just how many people are we talking about?
More than 50 million Americans will be uninsured for some period of time this year.
And what are the consequences?
Studies show that uninsured people not only see doctors less often, but get care later and often end up sicker than people with insurance.
These are just some of the facts you should know so you can make up your own mind about health reform. We're the California Wellness Foundation and the Henry J. Kaiser Family Foundation. We're not backing any plan. We just want solutions to be based on facts. To learn more, call toll-free 1-800-FACTS-94.
Washington has formally told Japan to expect trade sanctions by October if Tokyo does not give U.S. companies access to government telecommunications and medical equipment markets. Bruce Dunning has more from Tokyo.
Japan warned it will break off negotiations on opening its markets if Washington gets serious about trade retaliation. Said the chief government spokesman, "We have no intention of negotiating under the threat of sanctions." But he added, "Japan will continue to talk with the U.S. at least until the 60-day deadline runs out." Japan reacted calmly to the administration's announcement, setting a time limit on talks aimed at increasing government purchasing of U.S.-made goods. On the American side, William Farrell, director of the American Chamber of Commerce here, thinks compromise is possible.
The red flags are up, or the warning flags are up, but there's still time to reach a settlement.
The Japanese see the threat of sanctions as another U.S. negotiating maneuver. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
The U.S. and Canada are skirmishing over wheat. Washington complains about a 2.5 million ton flood of Canadian wheat into the U.S. and is threatening retaliation. Minnesota Democratic Senator Paul Wellstone.
The Canadians have essentially been dumping wheat on our market in violation of what we think is fair trade. And there comes the point where one way or the other, the United States just has to make it clear that that's not acceptable.
Hubert Escrow, president of the Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association, says the issue is more political than economic.
We suspect that American farmers and American politicians along the Canadian border just want to stop the flow of wheat into that country.
Trade czar Mickey Cantor today sends President Clinton his options. If the U.S. does crack down, Ottawa is poised to slap tariffs on U.S. wine, tomato paste, canned goods, and citrus products. Mr. Clinton today takes his health care crusade to New Jersey, Mark Noller reports.
Within sight of the Statue of Liberty, President Clinton tries yet again today to rally support for a health care plan that would provide universal coverage. As he did over the weekend in Independence, Missouri, he addresses supporters today who have been crossing America in buses as part of the so-called Health Security Express. Mr. Clinton is trying to persuade Americans, and Congress in particular, that universal coverage would not be a government takeover of health care. But the White House is finding it a hard sell, especially on Capitol Hill. The ploy of letting Democratic leaders rewrite the plan to distance it from the president seems more to have reinvigorated the opposition. And the daily health care events on the president's schedule this week reflect the White House fear, if not panic, that he may be waging a losing battle. Mark Noller, CBS News, Washington.
Americans' personal spending rose 0.4% last month, four times faster than personal income. The Clinton administration has announced some abortion clinics will be getting federal protection. WKRG-TV newswoman Lee Sinclair reports from Pensacola that federal prosecutors declined to act a month ago against the man accused in Friday's abortion clinic murders.
Federal marshals will be dispatched to Pensacola to guard the two abortion clinics there. There is criticism that the murder of an abortion doctor and a clinic volunteer could have been prevented if new federal laws had been enforced by the FBI. One clinic worker thinks the added security is a good idea.
The security does need to be there because these guys do break little laws that they can be arrested for. And the police department told me that they have to put up with a little bit more because of the situation.
Radical anti-abortion activist Paul Hill is charged with murdering Dr. John Britton and clinic volunteer Jim Barrett. Hill founded a group that condones violence against abortion activists. Lee Sinclair for CBS News, Pensacola.
Bosnian Serbs are seeking new peace negotiations with the major powers. They want to negotiate a non-negotiable peace map. In Los Angeles, striking bus mechanics have reached tentative agreement with the city transit agency. That week-old strike will continue until a rank-and-file vote. The dollar is mostly lower overseas. London gold is up 65 cents, and on Wall Street, the Dow is ahead 6.15. It's 10 minutes past the hour.